This is Todd Wright, and this is the Toddcast. It is presented by Brandon Legal Group, which is your full-service law firm, and they service the greater Tampa Bay area. Full service means you need not wonder if Brandon Legal Group can help you with your specific needs legally. Full-service law firm, and they service the greater Tampa Bay area. You need not work, nor live, nor have your legal issue originate within the city of Brandon, Florida, to call them for a free consult. 844-4BLG-4ME. 844-4BLG-4ME. The Toddcast is also presented by Pin Chasers, three locations throughout the Tampa Bay area for fun, young, old, cheap date night, big group outing, kids' birthday party, late night specials like the Tuesday night pizza bowl, 9 p.m. to close, unlimited bowling, unlimited pizza, $10.99. No, not each. $10.99 covers your bowling and your pizza. That's just one of their late night specials. 50 lanes at 4847 North Armenia, 40 lanes, 5555 West Hillsboro, 38 lanes, 6816 Gale Boulevard, thanks to Pin Chasers. All right, so I waited. I really wanted to do a Toddcast after the first round of the National Football League draft, and I thought, no, something could happen on day two that impacts my opinion and dates it. Then I really wanted to do one after the second and third round, and I thought, no, something could happen on Saturday that impacts that. And change his opinions. So I waited. And then I just got busy. And tonight I thought, well, it's going to be May 1st. So let's start May 1 with a new Toddcast. And let's talk about the draft a little bit. And let's talk about, I always used to try to, I was one of those who tried to say that quarterbacks got too much attention. In terms of talking about football, and now it couldn't be further from the truth, because if you don't have one, you have nothing. You know, I think very rare are the days, you know, when I think of quarterbacks who got their teams to Super Bowls, didn't win them. Vince Ferragamo with the Rams, what was that, Super Bowl 14? Neil O'Donnell. You saw how that worked out in the second half. Larry Brown was his favorite intended receiver, or his favorite receiver. I guess it wasn't intended. Worked out for the Cowboys, though. It was the last Super Bowl win, Super Bowl 30. Look, I'm sure you can make cases about others, but now especially. And teams do overvalue quarterbacks, but in some cases they feel they don't have a choice. They've got to take the risk, and it's worth taking the risk in case it works out. So we had five quarterbacks really in play of significance. I know there were more taken in the later rounds, and some are making cases for what those mean down the road and in places like New England, what it could mean for creative offense in Baltimore. I'm not getting into that. I'm just talking about five guys, four that were drafted, and one that moved after being one of the top 10 picks last year. So in no particular order, let me just give you some thoughts on Kyler Murray. I said very early on when Murray was being projected in the middle of the first round, I said on Gil Alexander's A Numbers Game show on VEASAN on Sirius XM, and Gil agreed. I said, by the time we get to the draft, Murray will be the number one pick. It to project him back then in the middle of the first round was ridiculous, based on him winning the Heisman, based on his performance, albeit in a losing effort to Alabama in the college football playoff national semifinal, based on how bad Arizona was the previous year, based on Cliff Kingsbury being hired, based on Cliff Kingsbury and what he said about Murray before Texas Tech OU game. It always headed that way, and in the end, it did. I'm skeptical. I'm very skeptical. Not rooting against the guy, but there's a lot here that suggests this might not go well. And it's not just him. I'm very skeptical of the head coaching choice. I'm very skeptical of the general manager. It's a bad football team. They were a mess last year. I don't know that this coaching staff, the addition of one player, cleans everything up and changes the fortunes of this football team. They're in the same division as the Rams and the Seahawks. I don't see it. And sure, I have some reservations on just Murray's stature and whether or not he can make the same plays that he did in college in the pros with bigger, faster players going against him every week for 16 weeks. I have doubts. The Jones pick to the Giants. The Giants clearly defend the pick, say that if they hadn't taken him there, he wouldn't have been available with the pick they acquired from the Browns. Look, I get the Jones pick. The Giants are kind of in the position with Eli Manning that the Colts were with Peyton Manning. The difference is the Giants don't have the excuse of an injury to kind of just move things along and start over at the position. The Colts had that and clearly felt that being in a position to take Andrew Luck and not wait it out with whatever Peyton Manning had left was the right move. Luck has had his ups and downs. Lately, it's been back up. Manning did go on, won a Super Bowl with the Denver Broncos, lost one, then 2 years ago won one, and is now retired. I think the Giants clearly just want to move on from Eli, and now they have any excuse to do it. They really do. Jones, to me, can be a solid National Football League quarterback. Was the value there? Maybe not, but at the same time, you can look back the last 10 National Football League drafts and see where a team may have overvalued a quarterback, whether it worked out or not. So the Giants did it here. Maybe they just didn't necessarily like or were sold on any of the other players that were available to them at the sixth spot, like Josh Allen, like Ed Oliver, anyone else that was drafted around that time, an offensive lineman or what have you. And the reaction from the Giants fans reminds me of the reaction of the Eagles fans when the Eagles took Donovan McNabb. Now, you get a number of Eagles fans, and I know some very well, who still don't like Donovan McNabb, but McNabb worked out. It was a good pick. It did help the franchise. Didn't produce a Super Bowl victory, but short of that, did a lot of good for the Eagles organization. Giants fans feeling so strongly that they botched the draft with the pick of Jones reminds me of the Eagles fans railing against the Eagles for taking McNabb. Which brings us to Haskins, who you heard a lot of. Dan Snyder was finally going to get back involved, and this is who I want, and let's go get him. And in the end, they didn't have to trade up to get him. I mean, we heard for many, many weeks that Haskins could go sixth to the Giants. Now, in recent weeks, it felt like that might not happen, that the Giants weren't sold on him. And clearly, you know, there were other teams that weren't necessarily sold on him. Hard to read Arizona in that because Arizona didn't they probably didn't even consider him that strongly because of the Kyler Murray factor. But as far as Haskins is concerned, with local ties to the area, with Dan Snyder wanting to get him, with the Redskins and Alex Smith probably never going to play again, bringing in Case Keenum with the Broncos paying part of that salary, and then you bring in the guy who threw 50 touchdowns and saved some of his best games for the toughest opponents in the Big Ten last year. I like Haskins. I do. I like him. I don't like the Redskins football team. I've always liked Jay Gruden as an offensive mind, and I think Jay's done pretty damn well, all things considered, with what's going on with the Redskins. But I do. I like Haskins. I think he'll be very motivated to play. I think there's a pedigree there. There's just a lot of little things that seem to add up that suggest the Redskins got a guy who can stabilize the position for a number of years going forward. Which brings us to Drew Lock, who fell out of the first round, and I agree with that. Look, I can't break down for you the game tape on Drew Lock. I probably saw him throw maybe 10 balls in Missouri highlights from last season. Sorry, I didn't spend a lot of time watching Missouri football. I hear he's a good guy, has the right mentality. I don't have anything negative to say about him. Clearly, there weren't teams real excited about him. And the fact that John Elway selected him in round two, did Elway get value? Maybe. But since Elway took over the Broncos, he's picked six quarterbacks. Six. He just brought in Joe Flacco and said, oh, you know, Flacco's just entering the prime of his career. Then he goes out and drafts Drew Lock, and he's the guy who drafted the quarterback out of Memphis, saving Jerry Jones from a mistake, where Jerry was like, well, we didn't get him. Might as well take Dak Prescott. So thanks for that, John Elway. John Elway right now, and it's amazing to say it, is the worst evaluator of quarterbacks in the National Football League. The only one he's gotten right was Peyton Manning, and let's make it clear. Who whiffs on that? Peyton Manning picked John Elway. John Elway didn't pick Peyton Manning. So Locke falling and then Elway grabbing just suggests bad things to me. Which brings us to Josh Rosen, the 10th pick last year to the Arizona Cardinals, the fourth quarterback taken at the time. Rosen didn't earn the starting job on opening day. That was Sam Bradford, if you remember that. That failed fast. Rosen thrust in. There was an offensive coordinator change pretty early on. Byron Leftwich goes from, I believe, quarterback coach to OC, working with Rosen. Yeah, Arizona had David Johnson and they had Larry Fitzgerald, but just the head coach was clearly not the right guy for any head coaching job. As described to me by someone who covers the Cardinals on a regular basis, I said, what was the worst thing about the head coach from 2018? And she said plainly, he was brought in as a defensive guy and he destroyed the defense. Nice job. So Arizona was messy. I don't know that you can hang that on Rosen, especially considering he wasn't even named the opening day starter. It was kind of like, okay, kid, you're up. Oh, your OC has changed, so now Leftwich is going to work with you. And the season was lost anyway. So I think it was a bad situation for Rosen all along. And then amidst all the talk of Murray, he had to know, he had to feel that something was going to happen. And he waited and he waited and he waited. And I'm surprised that, and I watched primarily NFL Network coverage of the draft, mainly for two reasons. One, I want nothing to do with Anthony McFarland talking football. And number two, and I know how Chapman Wingo III, Trey just seems to make a big deal out of stuff I don't give a shit about. So I just would rather avoid it. So over on NFL Network, their crew, I think Daniel Jeremiah is good. I think Trent Klatt is good. I thought David Shaw did a pretty good job on day one, and I've known Rich Eisen for a long time, albeit I haven't talked to him about 9 or 10 years. But I was surprised NFL Network, and I'm sure they weren't alone. There was all this talk, you know, where's Josh Rosen going to go? He was never going to be traded for a first-round pick. If you had paid attention to anything at all in the weeks leading up to the draft, you knew that the value simply was not there. Arizona was going to have to take a huge loss on this guy. Heck, the Dolphins were even able to trade down and keep their second-round pick, trade down. I think they picked up a second-round pick next year and then send that pick to Arizona for the rights to Josh Rosen. What's interesting about all this was once that was done, it was kind of like all of us outsiders who aren't in the war rooms and aren't in the personnel departments, we kind of looked at teams and said, okay, who needs a quarterback? Who's going to take a quarterback? And once the Rosen deal was done, it was kind of like, okay, everything has kind of fallen into place for now. So maybe we're not that stupid out here. We can see it the way the personnel people can. Hey, just a quick pause in the podcast here to talk about Wentworth Golf Club in Tarpon Springs. And where is my sheet on Wentworth Golf Club? Well, now, Wentworth Golf Club this weekend is hosting Todd Wright Tour XIX, my 19th event. It's sold out in 8 days. We are playing Saturday morning at Wentworth Golf Club. It's the second time General Manager Jesse Pratt has had the Todd Wright Tour, has hosted the Todd Wright Tour, and we're looking forward to a great day. Wentworth Golf Club is currently offering what they call a player development membership. Unlimited range balls, unlimited walking, playing the course after 3 p.m., a $10 cart fee after 3 p.m. if you don't want to walk, $10. Free golf lessons through clinics that are at varying times, and you can ask about more. There's also a free Ace loyalty card with reduced green fees and guest fees. This player development membership is only $49 per month. You can ask the golf shop for details or call Wentworth Golf Club. And I'm sorry I don't have the phone number in front of me. I just started this read. I'll be talking about them for weeks to come. And talking about how much I enjoy hosting events with Jesse Pratt, the general manager at Wentworth Golf Club. But the player development membership, if you want to play some golf in a month, 1 month at a time, $49 per month, unlimited range balls, walk the course, $10 cart fee just there, and then there's free golf clinics as well. Tell Jesse Pratt you heard about it from Todd Wright's podcast and the Todd Wright Tour. All right, spinning forward. So let's just have some fun. And let's look ahead to the draft in 2020, okay? Or free agency, and then the draft in 2020. Because by the time we got to the draft in 2019, I was just saying this, right? You kind of saw teams that were in need of quarterbacks. And eventually, they all sort of fell into place. Maybe the position, the Giants picking one at 6, Washington not moving, Miami trading for one, not drafting one, and Denver getting one in the second round. So maybe the positioning was, but it was pretty clear that these were the teams that were going to make quarterback moves. All right. So I'm going to give you 10 teams right now that at least I think are in the conversation by the time we get to next year could be in this position. Now, they could go out and do something in free agency, or they could make a move at the draft, or we could have another Josh Rosen situation where Some even speculate, what if the Dolphins are really bad and Rosen isn't great and the Dolphins have the first pick and they take Tua Tagovailoa or the kid from Oregon, and then they trade Josh Rosen? It's like Josh Rosen would become the new Sam Bradford, even though he kind of followed Sam Bradford in the first place to start his career. All right, so let's just go in no particular order. Actually, I am going in an order based on division standings, AFC East, and then, you know, North, South. That's the way I write down teams. All right, New England. This is solely based on if Tom Brady decides that's it. At some point, it's going to happen. And we're getting pretty far down the road here. I don't expect it, but kind of now on in every, and don't give me the, what is it, Stidham? Don't give me that. No. Just no. No. I reserve the right to be convinced otherwise. No. That's not it. But New England next year. If Tom Brady decides, you know what? I'm good. Thank you very much. Good night, everybody. Cincinnati. You know, some think the Bengals did select what the NC State kid, and I'm Finley, and I'm not going to go too in depth here because I'm not going to speak on something that I don't have a lot of information on. But for whatever reason, right? Why do NC State quarterbacks tend to do well in the NFL? They have as many quarterbacks in the NFL as just about any college, and they don't win at NC State. So, yeah, I'll give Finley the benefit of the doubt, but if that doesn't work, Dalton's a $16 million quarterback this year. He's a $17.5 million cap hit in 2020, but they can cut him. I think he gets $5 million. There'd be $5 million in dead money from some bonuses. But if the Bengals wanted to move on from Andy Dalton after this year, they could do it, and they can save $17.5 million. In cap room. And there's a new head coach there. So we'll see how it works. Just saying, if it doesn't work, the Bengals could dump Dalton, save $17.5 million, and be in the market for a quarterback if Finley doesn't take over for Dalton and light it up. Tennessee. Mariota's on the fifth year of his deal. Very similar, and we'll get to Jameis Winston. It's basically the same money, even though Mariota was picked too. And Mariota has a playoff win. But there are questions there. It's not like Tennessee, I think, is looking for another quarterback, but what's Mariota going to want? You know, and to renew quarterbacks, you saw what Russell Wilson just got. And granted, Mariota probably can't ask for that because he hasn't won a Super Bowl and he just doesn't have the numbers of Russell Wilson. But Tennessee might, depending on this year, if Mariota gives them another even just good year, not great, Tennessee might be like, why are we going to give him $30, $35 million for the next 4 years? Let's just walk away. Or let's go out and see if we can get somebody else that might be available in free agency or in the draft. So Tennessee could, just based on the Mariota contract and what it's costing to keep established quarterbacks these days. I'll put Jacksonville on the list just because I think there's a chance Nick Foles flops, just like he did when he left Philadelphia before. And if he does, and I mean really face plants, then the Jags could be in the market for a quarterback again. Denver. Yeah, because it's John Elway. So let's put Denver on the list. They're there every year because of John Elway, because John can't evaluate quarterbacks. Can we all agree we're not convinced Joe Flacco is going to work there and Drew Locke might not be very good? So Denver in a year might be looking for somebody else. Flacco would be retired and Locke would kind of be in that that purgatory that the Memphis quarterback was, that Brock Osweiler was before he got the big money with the Texans. It could happen. Oakland with David Carr is interesting. And keep in mind, next offseason, barring big delays in Las Vegas, the Raiders will be moving. So making a big splash, bringing in new quarterback as the team moves to Las Vegas is sensible to talk about. Carr is at $19.9 million this year. If the Raiders were to move on from him after this season, they save $16.5 million against the cap on Carr, which is a pretty significant number. So they can move on from Carr after this year and save $16.5 million. There's some dead money there, but for the most part, they can move on from him and free up $16.5 million if they want. Chargers. This is starting to get some talk on ProFootballTalk.com. Are the Chargers and Rivers going to do anything now that Russell Wilson got his deal done? What about Rivers? Now, Rivers hasn't won a Super Bowl. Rivers hasn't won many playoff games. But Rivers has had a hell of a career. This year, he's making roughly 22, actually, it's more than that, about 23, 25 million. It's only 11 million in base, 7 million prorated, and a $5 million roster bonus. He's a free agent. After this year, Philip Rivers is a free agent. Sure, the Chargers could slap him with the franchise tag. But I still contend, and it was part of the hammer that Russell Wilson used on the Seahawks, Le'Veon Bell never playing another down for the Steelers, despite the Steelers putting the franchise tag on him, I think has scared the bejesus belts out of every NFL team now that the franchise tag is a convenient security blanket. And I think Le'Veon Bell, granted, he gave up an entire year to get his free agency, but it proves that you can't just use it and the player caves. I'm telling you, if Kirk Cousins, if Le'Veon Bell's situation happened before Kirk Cousins would have never played another down for the Washington Redskins. He played 2 years on franchise deals, and he didn't want to be there. If he had known, he would have given up 1 year to just sit and then walk. And now it's just leverage. So, look, I don't sense that there's bad blood between the Chargers and Rivers the way there obviously was with Bell and the Steelers and Kirk Cousins and the Redskins, but Chargers may choose to walk away from this. It's worth noting that Rivers doesn't have a deal right now beyond the 2019 season. We alluded to Jameis Winston, same situation as Mariota. For a guy who has done significantly less than Mariota. Jameis on the same four-year deal with the team option for a fifth that they picked up at roughly the same money, $20.9 million free agent after the year. Would the Bucs, with another average or bad year with Jameis Winston, would the Bucs just walk away? Probably. Also because, for whatever reason, Bruce Arians believes in Blaine Gabbert. And you know what it reminds me? Remember when Mike Holmgren was bouncing around the NFL after he left the Packers? And wherever he went, Seneca Wallace went with him. And you were like, what is going on here? People would say, does Seneca Wallace have pictures of Mike Holmgren doing things to aliens or something that would embarrass Mike Holmgren because Mike Holmgren keeps paying Seneca Wallace? The Bruce Arians Blaine Gabbert thing kind of feels like that. So the Bucs could be in the market for a quarterback simply because Jameis can come off the books and the Bucs can walk away from it. New Orleans. This is just like New England. At some point, Drew Brees is going to say, you know what? I'm good. And that's it. So if Drew Brees says that after the 2019 season, New Orleans is thrust into the quarterback market. And just to end the podcast on something comical, and it reminds me of a segment I used to do on my ESPN All Night with Todd Wright show. It was called Outlandish. And the idea behind the Outlandish segment was once a week, I said something that when you first heard it, sounded completely outlandish. And then the more I talked about it and the more I wanted you to think about it, the less outlandish it became. So the 10th team on my list that could be in the market to draft a quarterback next year would be the Arizona Cardinals. And I think they'd be the first, right? First, they became just the second team, I think, to draft a quarterback in the top 10 in the first round two straight years. It can't be just the first round. There have been teams who've done that. I think it was top 10. If the Kyler Murray thing, if the combination of Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury is a disaster, they could be right back in this position with a new head coach and in the market to get the next hot quarterback in 2020. It could happen. All right, so that does it for this edition of the Toddcast. It's been presented by Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. Call for a free consult anytime, and remember, they are our full service. You need not ask if they specialize in any particular type of law. 844-4BLG4ME. 844-4BLG4ME. And Pin Chasers. What's another good late-night special coming up later this week? How about Thursday night specials. It's Thirsty Thursdays. Unlimited bowling, 9 p.m. to close for $10.99. And if you'd like a Miller Lite draft, they are $1 a piece. $1 a piece. Pin Chasers at Midtown, 4847 North Armenia. The Veterans location, 5555 West Hillsboro. East Pasco, 6816 Gale Boulevard. Also, remember the Breakfast Bowl in the morning. It's the best deal they have. For those of you early risers and those of you who actually like to eat breakfast, $8 a person from open until 11 a.m. every single day. You walk into Pin Chasers before 11 a.m., you drop $8. You can bowl as much as you can until 11 a.m., and you get two eggs, two pieces of bacon, two pieces of toast. And actually, it's 2 hours of unlimited bowling. Now, I got to find out if you walk in at 10:45. I don't know if you get the 2 hours of unlimited bowling. You know, my guess is you probably do, because that's the way Anthony runs the business. But I'll ask him for the next podcast. It's 2 hours of unlimited bowling with your two eggs, your two pieces of bacon, and your two pieces of toast for $8 a person. I'm almost sure. So if you walk in at 10, how about this? If you walk in at 10:45 a.m. and you want to do the breakfast bowl and they tell you no, you get back to me and I'll then take you with one of the certificates that Anthony gives all my golfers for free bowling. All right. But I'm sure they do it, knowing them. It's Pin Chasers. All right. Three locations in the Tampa Bay area. Thank you for listening to the Toddcast. We'll talk to you next time.